Boiler to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm still Ryan Bonaparte.
And we're back with you a day early, as promised, because Purdue is playing a day early. We're playing on a Friday night, Friday Night Lights in Ross-Aid Stadium, 7 p.m. kickoff. Again, checks notes. Nope. We're not thrilled about that. So Ryan and I are going to have a guest who is a Wisconsin expert on the second half of the pod. Before that, Ryan and I are going to talk about a little bit of Ryan Walters' press conference that he held yesterday, Monday, September 8th, and also talk about some Purdue and Wisconsin things going into Friday's game. But first, Ryan, for those who are listeners, we talked about the pumpkin spice frosty on the last episode of the podcast, and I was able to get it, and I tried it.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Okay.
It, you know, the only thing I'll say, and this is probably a reflection of the Wendy's I went to and not a reflection of you're going to get in general, it was a little water, not watery, but like melty, more okay. Melty than usual. But I think that was just a factor of the specific Wendy's that I went to. So I wouldn't be worried about it, but the taste was top notch. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good. I will say I tried my darndest to get myself a pumpkin spice frosty. I ordered one, and it had it. It had it through the online delivery page. I was able to order it because I was working from home. And about 20 minutes later, I got a text. They only have chocolate and strawberry.
Oh, man. What a
rip. I was
rip.
Devastated.
Did you decide to get a chocolate or strawberry, or did you cancel the whole thing?
I got myself a chocolate frosty.
Classic. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing
wrong
with that.
Didn't even have vanilla, though. No vanilla? How?
I think they generally only have two flavors at a time, just because that's probably all they have room for in their, you know, machines.
Right.
So they'll probably swap out the strawberry for the pumpkin spice and then get rid of that once the fall season over would be my guess.
Yeah, you're definitely right, because that's definitely how Earhart dining court works with their ice cream machine.
Yeah.
So, just sad. Have to try it again maybe in a week or two. Maybe they'll switch over.
Yeah, you just never know. But yeah, I would definitely recommend for all of our fall-loving friends in the podcast listening. It is a nice, tasty little treat. It's very refreshing on a warm day. So, 10 out of 10 would recommend. So, enough pumpkin spice talk. Let's talk about Ryan Walters' press conference on Monday. Ryan, I know you were looking through the transcript earlier. Was there anything in there about injuries to guys like Gus Hartwig or Jenkins need to know about going into Friday's game?
Yes and no. There was news on Kydren Jenkins. So from what Ryan Walters said, he is still going through his rehab process. If he's ready, he'll play. If he's not, he won't. Pretty upfront.
I love that. Well, if he's ready, he'll play. If not, he's not. Won't. Well, okay, I would expect nothing less. But it doesn't sound like he gave us any indication. Absolutely. Doesn't sound like he gave us any indication when that rehab would be done, or he was, or how likely.
Yep, exactly. And there was no word at all on Gus Hartwig. So we're still in the dark. We're hoping, but
I can't believe no one even asked the question about him. That just seems wild.
I wasn't down there in West Lafayette, so we'll send Gabby next time.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not sure we want Gabby to be able to confront the coaches after a loss.
Hey, you know, well, no, this was midweek, so.
Yeah, I guess that's, but still.
You got some time to start drinking in between, yeah. So you don't have to.
There you go. So any other interesting quotes or notes from the press conference that he said, you know, anything that really brought your attention to it?
Yeah, there was one thing that kind of broached my attention and kind of got my eye to quiver a little bit. So when asked about third and fourth and one, so Ryan Walters was asked kind of, you had three games, what do you notice? Is there a pattern? Ryan Walters said, yeah, there's a pattern. I'm quoting, it's not being able to convert.
Well, I appreciate the honesty.
Exactly. So he said they had three games of information that will definitely change my approach on when to and when not to go for it. So I not just like what plays we're going to run, but whether or not to actually go for it. So he looks like a guy that wants to learn and wants to improve. I appreciate that so much in a coach. I for, you know, being a Purdue fan, you hope nothing else that he can improve each week. And jury's still out, but he looks the part, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I think it's so hard to get a feel for what kind of a coach Ryan Walters is going to be in this first year
Right.
because he's left with a team that isn't what he wants it to be. We lost so many players either to the draft or the transfer portal, and he's, you know, just trying to cobble together a roster that can suit what he wants to do, but it's not really working. So really, we don't have a lot to go on right now, which is really, it's not fun because it allows folks to draw their own conclusions and get all up in their feelings after a couple of losses, and decry Walters and the staff as terrible and horrible, and clearly it was a bad hire and we need to fire him already and blah blah blah. So it's very tough to gauge a coach this early in their time. So I just, he is saying the right things. It's just a matter of, can he do the right things? Can he implement those changes? And do we see results as we go on through the season? You know, how well do you remember the Daryl Hazel years, the first year of Daryl
Oh,
Hazel?
well, let me tell you, I definitely remember the last days of Daryl Hazel. It's a time you want to forget,
Yeah, that is
definitely.
true. That is true.
So,
I mean, I was at the very first game of the Daryl Hazel era when we played at Cincinnati. I've talked about it on the podcast before, one of the most miserable experiences I've had at a football game because it was so incredibly hot. The stadium was absolutely terrible. This was pre-renovations, so it was like you couldn't walk anywhere. The concourse was just flooded with people. Took forever to get in the stadium, but also, I mean, the game, Purdue just looked inept out there. And I think that is one thing. I mean, you can say a lot of things about the losses Purdue has had so far this year, but we haven't looked inept. You know, we've still been able to move the ball. We've still been able to go out there and make some plays. We've definitely had some problems, you know, the secondary allowing guys behind them, allowing Garrett Schrader to absolutely shred the defense, but we've not looked completely lost out there. And I know that's a low bar, and I know I'm going to, you know, take some flack for that, but it's now, even though we won the Big Ten West last year, we still have to rebuild this program and get back to where we want to be because of the fact that we lost so much. And I think people need to realize that and understand that.
Yeah. Funny you mentioned that. I was actually at the final game of the Hazel era. So we got the bookends there. And so there's one other thing I kind of want to touch on from the press conference that kind of sparked from last game. It's whether or not Devin Mockabee is still the starter. So the depth chart has an or in between Devin Mockabee and Tyrone Tracy. So it's almost like it's an open for the starting job. And Walters said, in my opinion, those guys are both starting tight players in this conference and for us as a team. So I think those reps will be more evenly distributed. Hopefully we'll be better because of that on offense. So it's almost like they have a tandem backfield now rather than just it's the Devin Mockabee show.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that makes sense. When you fumble that many times, granted, he didn't lose any of the fumbles, but he's now fumbled, what, 4 times on the year?
Yes.
And lost none of them, which is just an incredible streak of luck that I think we mentioned in the last pod, that you're not going to be able to keep that up. Eventually, those are
Yeah.
going to come back and bite you. And it's just incredible that he's fumbled that many times so far with none being recovered by the defense. So he has
Yeah.
got to get that under control.
Yeah, and all the while Hudson Card loses three of his.
Right. Yeah. Maybe it just balances
So,
out on the team, and maybe Mockaby is just lucky.
yeah, exactly. So you see it as a coaching standpoint. You see that the coaching staff is holding people accountable, and you like to see that. So, as I think, kind of the overall point of this is the coaching staff is doing the right things. It's just a matter of time before they get their players and can pull it all together.
Yeah, and I hope that's right. And I went through a little bit of the press conference transcript as well, and he was asked about the penalties, and he talked about you just teach off of the mistakes. We had all these penalties. You can't have those. We talk about it all the time. In order to win the game, you gotta not lose it, and you lose the games by penalties, mental errors, and turnover. And he said we were not great in those three categories. So, I mean, it sounds so simple, but it is so true that it is those mental mistakes that often can lose you football games. That was why Purdue lost it at Syracuse seasons ago, those mental mistakes after the touchdown. And I don't know that it was mistakes that cost them this Syracuse game, but it certainly didn't help them with those, multiple 11 pins on Saturday for however many yards, over 100 yards, the exact number. You take those and you turn it over four times, and it's a whole different ball game. I mean, if you would have changed those two things, I think Purdue would have probably won the ball game. But if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, as they like to say. So we can't really do that, but it does give you at least a little bit of hope that if they clean things up, maybe we'll be able to, find a way to win a couple more games. But it's going to be tough. Every game is going to be a scrap because this Purdue team just doesn't have the guys to be able to make huge mistakes like that and continue to win.
For sure. So it's unfortunate that it has to be a waiting game in these times, but you know what? If it pays off, it's well worth it.
Do we want to talk a little bit about Wisconsin for before we bring our friend in here?
A little bit, a little bit.
Okay.
So.
Wisconsin currently 2-1, have not really looked like the Wisconsin world beaters that we've expected. They don't have a guy running for 600 yards a game, on us. But Ryan, what can you tell us about the Wisconsin Badgers?
Yeah, they still like to run the football.
Yeah, I would
So
think so.
their two main rushers are Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi, combined 76 rushes, over 500 yards on the ground, and 8 touchdowns.
Wow.
Now, the odd thing is they don't really throw to their, they don't really throw a lot of yards to their running backs. So screen games is not exactly where their bread and butter is. So, their quarterback, Tanner Mordecai, he is not a scrambling quarterback, and I know a lot of people are going to be very happy. There should not
Yeah.
be a Garrett Schrader 2.0.
Let's hope not.
Should not be. But he has thrown for 700 yards, but only 2 touchdowns as well as 2 interceptions. So not the most world beater at quarterback, which we expect out of Wisconsin. However, we don't really expect that out of a Luke Fickell offense.
Right.
So it might be a matter of Luke Fickell hasn't got his guy yet. So we don't really know. Coming into the season, we expected the offense to change radically, and it kind of has. They're not running the ball up the middle 70 times a game like they normally do,
Right.
but they still have very talented running backs, so it's going to be another tough day for the defense
Yeah.
if Wisconsin comes to play.
Yeah. And especially if Jenkins is out, and as we just discussed, we don't really know how his rehab is going or even really what the injury was. So we'll just have to wait and see and hope that he can come back. As you said, Wisconsin doesn't have a world beater at quarterback. I mean, they really are not known for that, at least in recent memory. Of course, the one exception is when they got a guy who transferred in by the name of Russell Wilson for 1 year. And oh man, did he torch Purdue when the two teams played back in 2011. That was not a good look for Purdue. He absolutely blew them away on that game. So I'll never forget that one. I was in attendance at that one as well. Man, that was rough. So what do we know about the Wisconsin D?
So they have their own guy who's actually just tearing it up, and his name is Hunter Woller. So I've got a comparison here between him and Dylan Thielemann.
Okay.
So Dylan Thielemann, 31 total tackles. Hunter Woller, 34 total tackles. Both have 26 solo tackles. Both have 2 interceptions. They are very good defensive backs. They're both safeties, and he is really their guy on defense. I think he was the Big Ten or even the country's player of the week.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. That's definitely fun.
What year is he?
I believe... I actually am not sure.
I put you right on the spot right there. I just thought maybe with your comparing the two of them, I thought maybe he was a true freshman, but I assume not.
He might have been a true freshman, and I think that's kind of where it came from, that it was incredible too. Hunter Waller. Oh, no, he's a junior.
Okay, so there we go.
He's been around, but still. So... props to Dylan Thiemann, then. True freshman pulling out all the stops just like this guy.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So their defense has 10 sacks on the season, 5 interceptions, and a fumble recovery. So they have the fundamentals down to, you know, an extent. Obviously, they're not the most prolific in any of those, but well-rounded is well-rounded, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Wisconsin last year had one of their worst years in a long time, ultimately resulted in Paul Christ being let go, and then they've now got Fickell as their head coach. So
right.
They are also a team still finding themselves, finding their identity. But I think one thing you can say about Wisconsin is, you know, they've known who they are for a long time. You know, they're a kick you in the face, run for 4 yards, run for 5 yards, real power running team with a gigantic offensive line. And that doesn't just change overnight. They're still going to be a bit of that team. I'm not sure that's what Luke Fickell wants them to be long term. But you can at least build upon that and try to tweak the offense a little bit as you go. He came in with a good foundation. And he's got something really good to build upon. So, you know, with Purdue not having beaten Wisconsin since 2003, it's never a good thing for Purdue to see Wisconsin coming up next on the schedule. I'll be honest, I'm not real optimistic about this game. And that has nothing to do with what has happened in 2 of the last 3 games. It has everything to do with Purdue just does not match up well against Wisconsin.
Yeah. The last stat I have that's kind of terrifying.
Oh, good.
Is Wisconsin is 12 of 12 in the red zone.
Oh, fantastic.
And the somewhat more terrifying part, Purdue is 8 of 12.
I would assume that would have been worse, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but 2/3 of the time you're inside the 20 and you don't score, or 1/3 of the time you don't score.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
No.
But hey, you know, we still got to play the game.
That's right. That's right. So I think that's going to do it for this part of the podcast. We're going to go ahead and take a break, bring in our friend who knows Wisconsin, kind of get a little more info on them and get you all ready for Friday's game. We'll be right back.
Yep.
And we are back. So Ryan and I are here with John Schutz from the Bucky Cast to talk all things Wisconsin heading into Friday's game. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've got my cheese curds and beer here, so I'm ready to talk all things Wisconsin.
Well, you know, if you're a listener of this podcast, you know, Ryan and I would love the cheese curds. We could pass on the beer, though.
I've got to turn back my question answering hat.
Okay.
I'm ready to go. All right.
Now you mean business. So. Right. For those that are not aware, John hosts the Bucky Cast, covers all things Wisconsin, including volleyball, basketball, football, hockey. He is in Wisconsin, so he's got all those lovely winter sports up there as well.
Yep.
So he is a busy guy, but he did tell us before we started recording that he's probably not going to put out a Purdue Wisconsin football podcast, just because, you know, and these are his exact words. He said, "It's been 20 years since you guys beat us. What's the point?" Did I cover that pretty well, John?
We've chopped this up as an automatic win. In fact, it doesn't even show up on the schedule anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like a scrimmage. No, that is not the case. In fact, I'm sure I will wind up covering it the results of the Purdue game, if nothing else, but I don't have a preview going on.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. So we're going to do some questions here just to kind of get a better idea of what to expect from Wisconsin. Obviously, you're a pretty knowledgeable fellow, so we thought we'd bring you in. First, I'm going to go first. Ryan, I'll let you have the second one. As I said, Purdue has not beaten Wisconsin since 2003. For those younger listeners, you might not have been alive the last time Purdue beat Wisconsin. So for Purdue fans, it's like a nightmare every time we see Wisconsin football on the schedule. I mean, do you guys feel when you see Purdue on the schedule that it's like not an easy win? I don't want to make it sound like you don't respect, you know, a game or looking past it. But I mean, with 20 years, is it really something where you look at it and say, we're probably going to win this game?
You know, in there were years when we would say that. There were years when you know, during the Daryl Hazel era, and I think we talked about this when I interviewed you for the for my podcast. Yeah, it just felt like, yep, we're gonna win that game, no problem. That is not really the case anymore. 2 years ago, I went to the Wisconsin Purdue game, and it was in question at halftime. And then Purdue inexplicably decided to start running the football a lot, and that was the end of that game for them. That was Braylon Allen's coming out game. But this year, it's honestly going to depend on which Badger team shows up. The Badgers are a team of two halves this year, and the first half Badgers are look like they've had all memory of playing football wiped from their brains. for the most part, there's a few guys who are still playing the whole game, but from like in the last three games, Wisconsin has, I think, been tied at half with Buffalo or ahead by 3 points. They were trailing obviously by like 18 points against Washington State, and they were tied with Georgia Southern at half. Wisconsin has only scored, I think, a total of like 23 points in the first half of games. And then they come out in the second half and suddenly realize, oh yeah, we can play football. And last week against Georgia Southern, Wisconsin gave up over 500 yards of total offense.
Ooh.
I think Hudson Card has like 800 plus passing yards in the year already. He may get half of that again in the game against Wisconsin, because the Wisconsin secondary outside of Hunter Wohler, who is our dollar player, our hybrid safety, outside of him, none of the other Wisconsin starters have really shown up this year in that secondary. It almost looks like I don't know if they changed like what style they're playing. Obviously we changed defensive systems. But these are like fundamental errors that are even like beyond just changing systems. Guys running loose in the secondary with two guys running off and covering another guy. Just basic bad football, bad tackling. They've already had a starter benched because of his inability to tackle players. So Wisconsin secondary isn't the only problem on the defense, but it's probably the principal one right now. On offense, it's the offensive line. Which is weird for Wisconsin fans.
Right, yeah, that is not the unit you expect to be the weak one when you think of Wisconsin football.
And Wisconsin, first of all, I don't know if they're going to get center Jake Renfro back for this game or not. Renfro was brought in as a transfer from Cincinnati. He was an All-American Athletic Conference center in 2021. He sat out last year with an injury, and he sat out most of his Wisconsin career in the spring and fall with injuries. So that would really help, because right now Wisconsin's got Tanner Bordellini starting at center. He's not a true center. He doesn't really like to play center.
He's having a lot. Again, as Purdue fans, we understand that, as we played our fifth string center in a game against Virginia Tech or Fresno State, whoever it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that is the pain Wisconsin's going through right now, is we have a center who doesn't really do well with shotgun snaps. Well, this is an entirely shotgun-based offense, so that's a mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah, that's trouble.
And there's really no backup. So Tanner Bordellini has had to play center, and it has kind of messed up the entire chemistry of the offensive line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you shift one player like that, it can really change things up for everybody. We've seen that at Purdue multiple times so far over just these three games.
They have had inexplicably bad line play. Jack Nelson, who is supposed to be a first or second round pick, at least a day two pick in this upcoming NFL draft, has not played like that at all. He gave up two strip sacks against Washington State, one that was resulted in a touchdown directly, and gave up a couple of holding penalties last week to a not all that great pass rushing team. So Wisconsin's very discombobulated right now. This is a good time for Purdue to catch them, especially on the road, because I don't know what Wisconsin team's going to show
Don't give me hope. Don't do that. Don't
up.
come on.
You guys, I see you guys have dipped into the Thienemann storage facility that you have somewhere in the state of Indiana and
Yes.
pulled out another Thienemann.
We have.
So it's good to know that your stockpile of Thienemanns has not declined any
Yeah.
at Purdue. Wisconsin has been turnover prone. Last week, they managed to reverse that by forcing an incredible six turnovers. The only thing that stopped the Georgia Southern offense was itself.
Yeah.
So if you've got guys who can pick off the ball, there's a chance that they'll get an opportunity, especially considering that your pass rush looks pretty good too. So yeah, it's been an inconsistent, I'm not gonna say a nightmare. Wisconsin's still 2-1, but it's been an extremely odd offensive line year for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know, so you mentioned our pass rush, so we actually are not quite sure if one of our premier pass rushers in Kydren Jenkins will play this week. It hasn't been announced. He's doing his rehab, as our coach said, but we're not sure if he'll play. Quoting Ryan Walters, if he's ready, he'll play, but we don't know if he's ready, of course. So that could be a little bit of a game changer there. But so my main question is, with Luke Fickell coming in and sort of coming to a spread offense, we were, I at least as Purdue fans, hoping this would be somewhat the downfall of the Wisconsin running game. That doesn't seem to have happened so far yet this year.
It did happen against Washington State. The Badgers only ran the ball a handful of times. Braylon Allen had 20 yards rushing total in that game.
Wow. Okay.
Wisconsin had a really hard time handling Washington State's front four. And if Purdue puts up any sort of a fight, especially in the first half, Wisconsin's going to have a dog fight because the offensive line just has, as I've said, has not been consistent in that first half. So if they can get
Gotcha.
pressure on the quarterback and if they can hold up in the middle of the defensive line, then they will succeed.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you really are. You're giving me hope where I'm not sure that it's warranted, but I appreciate the honesty, if nothing else.
Here's the thing. 20 years of victories, and this is the first time I've ever gone into a Purdue game and said to myself, you know what? I don't know that we can win this one.
Oh, wow.
And this is, I realize you guys have had your own problems this year with I watched that Fresno State game. Wow. But yeah, it's Wisconsin is so maddeningly inconsistent. I hate to give you hope, but at the same time, I don't know what team is like I think I, this is the third time I've said it, I don't know what team's going to show up. If it's the
Yeah.
same team that showed up in the first half of the three non-conference games, it's going to be a game. But if they manage to put all of it together finally and put forth a complete game, you may have problems.
Yeah.
Braylon Allen is still a formidable running back. Chezma Lucy actually is also having a really good season. So Wisconsin has the benefit of having two starting caliber running backs in the Big Ten.
Of course they do.
And for all of the bad play on the offensive line, there have been good players too. Trey Wettig, who was started the year as a backup, is seeing more and more action. He's probably Wisconsin's top-rated offensive lineman per PFF. And Wisconsin's wide receivers, they haven't really deployed the long passing game yet. Everything has been short to medium range. It's a little maddening because we were encouraged this year that Wisconsin's offense was going to open up and was going to pass down the field. Well, it's all been a lot of short passing so far.
That was actually going to be one of my next questions regarding the Wisconsin passing game. Is there anybody in the receiving corps who you would consider a deep threat, even if they have not necessarily connected on it or run it so far this year?
Oh yeah, Skylar Bell and the other wide receiver in the slot, Will Pauling, will absolutely take the top off of your defense if you're not careful. Chimere Dike is a big-bodied wide receiver. Bryson Green, CJ Williams, they can all get deep on you. Williams is more of a possession type receiver. Wisconsin's also shown a couple of occasions where they will unzip a defense right down the slot with a tight end. Hayden Rucci, more of a blocker. But they have a true freshman tight end, Taylor Ashcraft, Tucker Ashcraft, sorry. who is actually having a great season. He had the best score on the team, again, per PFF or Pro Football Focus last week. So there are myriad offensive weapons for the Badgers. It's, can they put everything together? Tanner Mordecai has been accurate when he's not been under pressure. So getting pressure on him is going to be probably the key to this football game for Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So you say, I mean, there are some guys who can take the top off the Purdue defense. I don't know if you've seen how deep Dylan Thienemann starts. He'll be about 30 yards deep. So it's definitely fun to see.
If Wisconsin gets their passing game going, or their running game going, rather, Dylan Thienemann might want to creep up a little bit into the box because Wisconsin can, if they are on their game, absolutely pound you. And you guys have seen that firsthand, I'm sure.
Your
defense is not prepared for the running game. I know you guys had some trouble against Syracuse stopping a running quarterback. Tanner Mordecai is a mobile quarterback. He doesn't prefer to run, but he can. So Wisconsin is not without options on offense. If you have any semblance of a passing game, if you want to line up Deion Burks and run him deep, I don't know that Wisconsin can stop that. They've not shown the ability to recognize, hey, there's one dominant wide receiver on the other side of the field. Let's focus on that guy without having their secondary completely fall apart and give you so many secondary options.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think one more thing I wanted to ask, and then I'll let Ryan get into his punting question if he doesn't have anything else. You know, you talked there about Wisconsin's defense showing an inability to stop the long pass, but for Purdue to be able to do that, their offensive line has to be able to block long enough for our guys to get downfield. We've been much better at pass blocking than we have at run blocking this year. But what is the Wisconsin defensive line look like? Have they been doing a great job getting to the quarterback this year, or is that another area where they've struggled?
That is another area where until this last game against Georgia Southern, they had struggled. Now, the main guys you're going to hear about are James Thompson Jr. on the defensive line. He has two sacks already on the year. He's been good. Daryl Peterson is an outside linebacker. He's taken over Nick Herbig's spot, sort of, in that defense as the primary pass rushing outside linebacker. He's got a lot of pressures, two sacks as well. He's pretty good. Outside of that, you know, unless they bring a blitz, Wisconsin has had trouble getting to the quarterback. And that's the one area that really gives me pause. I wouldn't, you know, I've seen the stats on the Purdue running game, only averaging 3.4 yards per carry. Wisconsin's defense, though, after the raking they got from Georgia Southern, if Purdue can mount a passing attack, this is going to be a game that Purdue can win. Wisconsin's secondary has shown no signs of being able to stop the pass, which I feel dirty saying.
Right, yeah.
We're so used to this not being the case.
It's a strange conversation.
Yeah. Wisconsin's defense has not been great this year so far, and I realize there's a period of adjustment from a 4-3 to a 3-3-5 defense, but it's been kind of ridiculous how easy the yardage has come for opposing teams.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan, that is really all the questions I had about Wisconsin. I'm going to let you go to your punting thing, and then at least Ryan and I will provide predictions. I'm not sure if you want to provide one as well. You don't have to, but we always like to give a prediction of the result and a quick guess at the score.
Yep, and they are guesses, that's for sure. So yeah, on to our segment, the punting segment. So we do this every week, and it's spurred with the Sickos community on then Twitter with how many punts it would take each Big Ten punter to get to the closest Culver's. Mm-hmm. For Wisconsin, I would have assumed it was at midfield in Camp Randall. So
you would think it was underneath the field at Camp Randall.
Exactly.
They are building a new practice facility, and they're going to move Bucky's Locker Room, which is the apparel store, out of Camp Randall Stadium and into that practice facility. And at that point, I think that space is big enough that it can handle Culver's.
There you go.
Fantastic.
And they can, with their next round of stadium updates, hopefully they'll stick a Culver's right under the stadium.
What more could you ask for?
So,
right?
The Sickos community is probably salivating this. But anyway, we took that and we ran with it. Now, with this game, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a number of punts that it would take the Wisconsin punter Atticus, which is a fantastic first name, by the way, is it Bertrams?
Bertrams. Atticus Bertrams, whose name I completely forgot in my season preview podcast for Wisconsin. True freshman.
Fair enough.
True freshman transfer from USC. I don't know how to explain that, but it's true.
That's what I was. I was like, how are you a true freshman but a transfer?
Don't ask me the reasons why, but he's got 4 years of eligibility. So
fair enough. All right.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to take a look at how many punch it would take Atticus to get to an area that is relevant to the University of Wisconsin. So this is based off his average punt yardage.
So you'll need to guess the destination after Ryan gives you the number of punts.
Okay, so I have to say which town in the Big Ten he's punting to.
Oh, no, it doesn't have to be a town in the Big Ten. It could be anywhere. It's a Wisconsin relative.
Anywhere in Culver's. Okay, anywhere in Wisconsin where there's a Culver's, I'm presuming.
Oh, no, it could be anywhere in the world. It just has to be a location relevant to Wisconsin. Like the
I'll give you an example. Team.
Okay.
Yeah. For example, when we did this game with Virginia Tech, I did the location of a Metallica concert in Russia because of Enter Sandstorm.
Sandman.
I'm sorry.
Ryan,
I'm
thinking... you just made every single person in the world who's going to listen to this podcast shake their head.
Yep.
You can't get that wrong. You know,
I was just blending South Carolina and Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Anywho, the number of punts I'm going to give you is 72,101 punts.
And what does he average?
He averages 40.6 yards per punt. So obviously not really fair. I will give you, it is several thousand miles.
Okay.
To get there. I believe it was 1600 miles actually.
1600 miles to get somewhere, and it's relevant to Wisconsin.
Yes, and it's from Camp Randall Stadium.
From Camp Randall to, like, how many miles did you say? 1,600?
1,600.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that the distance from Camp? No, that's not it. Is it from Camp Randall to Boston?
It is not.
It is not. Okay, that was my guess. What is it in fact?
What was your thinking with Boston? I'm not quite sure.
That is, I believe, where House of Pain is from.
And, like some jump around.
Yeah.
That's a solid guess.
Okay, this is actually, you are not wrong.
Oh, okay.
The guess was not wrong in a sense. So I actually did this to the origin city of House of Pain, where the band members are from, which is Los Angeles. But you are correct. Exact correct reasoning. It is where House of Pain formed.
So that I win, but not really.
Yeah, you get like half credit.
I mean, that's more than anyone else. Yeah. That's the closest anyone's ever gotten.
That's the best anyone's ever done.
I win your podcast for this year.
That's right.
As John always, Wisconsin wins.
You just had to. You had to.
I did. I had to do it.
I don't blame you. I would too if I'd been beating an opponent for 20 years straight. So we're going to finish up. Ryan and I are going to give our predictions. You are welcome to give one if you would like as well. No pressure, because I know you might not have thought of it, but I'm going to go first, give you both some time to think. I can't pick Purdue to beat Wisconsin. It's been 20 years. I've seen better Purdue teams than this lose to plenty of Wisconsin teams, good, bad, and different. It doesn't really seem to matter. I've got Wisconsin. I do think it'll be closer than maybe in years past, especially after this conversation, but I'm still going to go Wisconsin 28-24. Ryan, what about you?
Well, I'm going full homer.
Oh no.
I'm going to do it. So, and I didn't have this before we started this podcast. So, John, you've convinced me to go full homer.
Oh man.
And I think this Friday night mojo might wash away 7,279 days worth of pain. House of Pain. 28-26 Purdue.
Wow. Okay. That's actually the first game that you and I have picked different outcomes. So when it comes to the end of the season and we're looking at who did better, this could be a turning point.
Ryan, what's your record on the year for predictions?
We're both
1-2. And two. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we've guessed pretty much every single game.
Exactly.
Yep.
I got the Badgers score correct for the last game against Georgia Southern. I was in the rough ballpark. Wow. I've gotten all my predictions correct so far this year. I haven't like nailed the scores quite.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
I was fairly close on Washington State. I guess half the correct score for the Georgia Southern game. I am going to guess that Wisconsin, in the end, 20 years still works out. I'm going to go 35-27 Wisconsin.
That seems fair. That seems like a pretty realistic score to me. So, I mean, you know, it's the history of Purdue in the last 20 years. Haven't won one. Eventually,
I wouldn't have predicted that, but when he said Kyren Jenkins was out, I was like, well, yes, we think
for now, okay. You know, nothing.
If Wisconsin has Jake Renfro back at center and Purdue does not have Kyren Jenkins, I'll go with that score. Otherwise, well, I won't guess what the other score will be.
That's all right.
Too many variables.
Yeah. Yeah. So especially, you know,
27, is that a missed extra point or two field goals? Because our kickers struggled sometimes.
it can get there any way you want. However many safeties it takes to get to 27.
There you go. That would be a sickos game right there. Well, that is going to do it for us. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find the BuckyCast?
You can look on Twitter at the BuckyCast, or otherwise the BuckyCast is out on YouTube. You can go out on Spotify and check it out. We have an Instagram, but it is not – I very rarely post anything on the Instagram. Otherwise, you can always send us an email at thebuckycast43@gmail.com. I'm so used to giving our Twitter address.
Right. Yeah, I get you. So there we go, folks. That is Purdue versus Wisconsin. It's going to come on a Friday night, 7 p.m. kickoff. So be prepared for some Friday night lights. Boiler up.
Hammer down.